You're listening to The Jefferson Exchange. I'm Roman Battaglia. Congress recently approved a bill to help rural counties pay for schools and critical infrastructure. That comes after that funding, called Secure Rural Schools, had lapsed in 2023, leaving many counties in the lurch. OPB's April Ehrlich has been following the story. She joins us now to explain what bringing back these funds would mean for rural counties in Oregon and Northern California. Thanks for joining us, April.
Thanks for having me.
So first, let's start with the history of the Secure Rural Schools funding. Why was the federal government sending funding to rural counties in the first place?
Yeah, that's a really long, complicated story. So this is probably going to be a very long answer. Just kind of bear with me. It goes back to over a century ago in the early 1900s, back when Teddy Roosevelt was president and the eastern part of the country was becoming heavily industrialized, super developed. We were cutting down all the trees. We were producing all these factories, and those factories were dumping pollution into the air and into the water. That was harming fish, and it was also poisoning the water that cities needed for drinking. So Roosevelt, as a lot of folks may know, was an avid hunter and cared a lot about nature. So he kind of championed this idea of creating national forests and parks, lands that the federal government would own and preserve for extracting resources, whether it's, you know, logging trees or mining for, you know, metals, or for just enjoying nature as it stands in, you know, federal ownership. So, but essentially these areas were then blocked from development. And that meant a lot of newer communities on the western part of the country couldn't develop and collect taxes on these lands. And so all of these burgeoning communities across the West couldn't collect taxes on these large chunks of land within their boundaries. The Roosevelt administration made a promise to them. The country would continue preserving hundreds of millions of acres of public lands for recreation and resource extraction, but whatever proceeds the government collected from logging or resource mining, about a quarter of it would go to counties. So fast forward to the 1900s. All these counties were relying on what we call timber receipts, which are just basically revenues that the government gets from logging trees. But then the 1990s rolls in and people are seeing all this clear cutting happening. And a lot of people are really upset. The Clinton administration kind of helped lead the effort to get new environmental policies passed, including most notably the Northwest Forest Plan. And that protected a lot of trees from logging. But then a lot of logging revenues that counties relied on just plummeted. And now all these schools and county budgets are suddenly super emaciated, and they're struggling. So then we have Senator Ron Wyden. He comes in. He starts championing an effort to help get these counties the funding that they had been relying on for almost a century. And he helps champion the Secure Rural Schools program. And that program basically says, Congress will approve funding every couple of years and will give that funding to counties based on how much public lands they have within their boundaries. And in that event, they do not need to get logging revenues anymore. So since the 1990s, most counties that once relied on timber receipts now get secure rural schools. They typically have a choice between secure rural schools payments or logging receipts, but they tend to go with SRS because those payments are based on what counties would have gotten in the 1980s when logging was at its peak.
Got it.
And
yeah.
So, yeah, that's basically where it started.
Yeah. Yeah. So counties, you know, relied a lot on these timber revenues that they were getting on federal lands in their counties because they weren't getting taxes on them. And then, you know, because timber went down a lot, the timber industry, you know, these counties weren't getting as much money. And so that's where Secure Rural Schools kind of stepped in to help give that money to counties where they otherwise, you know, would not be getting it anymore. So in 2023, Congress let the funding for this program lapse. Can you tell us more about how that happened and what efforts were made during the last 2 years to get it renewed?
Yeah, so like I said earlier, this SRS program it needs to be approved by Congress every couple of years. So that's why every few years we hear this whole hullabaloo about secure rural schools, what's going to happen with those payments, and then eventually we get funding, and then that subsides. This was probably one of the longer-running episodes of that where Congress didn't approve funding and just kind of prolonged the effort to get that funding renewed. I think it's important to know that SRS was initially intended to be a stopgap program, right? Like, it wasn't supposed to be renewed constantly. Counties were expected to find other sources of funding. And I can maybe explain that a little bit more later. But going back to this, what just happened more recently with 2023. So in 2023, lawmakers couldn't come to an agreement. Oregon's Democratic Senator Ron Wyden, he paired up with others, notably Senator Mike Crapo, a Republican from Idaho, to get funding renewed about like three times since 2023. The Senate approved measures that would have renewed funding, but they couldn't get those measures through the House. And then they eventually wrote a letter to the House saying, hey, you need to fast track a bill to get funding out the door because these counties are suffering and schools are suffering, too. I think it's important to note that schools are also getting money from this. And like a few, like less than a day after that letter was sent, the House voted to fast track a bill to get the funding approved. Mm-hmm. And also, they're going to be kind of going back and getting funding, you know, going back to 2023. So they should be getting some back pay as well.
Yeah. So, you know, without that funding, though, you know, counties again had to rely on timber revenue. How much less is timber revenue generally than the funding from Secure Rural Schools?
It's pretty significant. I'm going to pull up some numbers here because I have it right in front of me. So, for instance, in Oregon, the county that was getting the most from Secure Rural Schools was Douglas County at about $12,000. That's what they got in 2023. And in 2024, they got $6,000. So they were getting half of what they were getting before. But those numbers tend to fluctuate between each county. It really depends on how much logging is happening within that county within a given year. And there are a lot of factors that could play into that. I mean, there has to be some demand for logging. And I think a lot of people know right now the lumber prices are pretty low. So there isn't really a huge demand for it. And so it really is like a case-by-case basis.
Yeah. If you're just joining us, my guest is April Ehrlich. She's a reporter with Oregon Public Broadcasting covering the congressional bill that funds rural schools. April, you mentioned, you know, timber revenue and state counties having to rely on that. But, you know, President Trump's so-called One Big Beautiful Bill that passed earlier this year also required federal agencies to ramp up logging efforts on federal land. Has that provision or will that provision change anything for rural counties?
Yeah, that's a really interesting one. And I think a lot of people are confused about it. So the Big Beautiful Bill did require federal agencies to ramp up logging. And there are some specific numbers that are not on the top of my head, but it required them to increase logging. But at the same time, it said all of that money needs to go into the federal treasury. That means nothing would be shared with counties, despite there being a sharing agreement going back to the 1900s when Teddy Roosevelt was president. So that was pretty devastating to counties. Not only were they not getting secure rural schools, but they were having these smaller payments, you know, but they still needed them, cut from them as well. So I think a lot of them were really concerned, but, you know, I reached out to many counties who were getting these timber receipts, and only Klamath County was willing to speak to me. And then even after we did that initial story, then they stopped talking to me again. So I think there was maybe some, you know, hope that if they just didn't complain about this big, beautiful bill not giving them the payments that they, you know, used to get, maybe Congress and lawmakers would get something through the door. And, that's exactly what happened. They were able to get something through the House. And now it's sitting on President Trump's desk.
Yeah, interesting that ramping up that logging isn't actually going to help counties, even if they rely on timber revenue, because all the money is going to the federal treasury instead. You mentioned that the Secure Rural Schools Act that was just passed provides some back pay, you know, for counties. But, you know, I'm thinking about, you know, what was the impact on schools and local government after that funding lapsed? I mean, they might be getting back pay, but they still had to fund things in the interim.
Yeah. I mean, you know, since 2023, they haven't been getting a lot of the funding that they needed. And so they were trying to figure out how much money do we even have for our sheriff's departments? How much do we have for roads? And then there were schools that were also suffering. And as far as I know, there were school districts that, you know, had to cut funding, had to cut classes. In Alaska, they had to cut some divisions. And as far as I know, I think there were some districts in Washington, but I was primarily focused on what was going on with counties because it seemed pretty dire in Oregon, at least in some of the rural counties, especially the ones on the coast. They were limiting sheriff's responses so that people who were calling about emergency, unless there was like a threat to life or a crime was actively happening, they weren't going to get a police response. Yeah. So
it sounds like sheriff stuff is a desperate big issue. Yeah, and I know that we've done some reporting here at JPR about the, you know, impacts to sheriffs, and there have been elections, you know, in the interim while the funding has lapsed on, you know, funding sheriff districts to keep the department funded because they weren't able to rely on that secure rural schools. So earlier this month, the U.S. House of Representatives voted to restore, you know, that secure rural schools funding in a bipartisan bill. Here's Oregon Representative Val Hoyle speaking on the House floor. We don't have that clip, but April, could you tell us, you know, what representatives said about the bill?
Yeah, so Val Hoyle said that she really wanted to get this funding out the door, but she also reiterated that this is not a permanent solution. This is a Band-Aid. This is something, like, we can't keep going over this fight every year and leaving counties in the lurch. So I think that was interesting, but, you know, she still voted in support of the bill and got that funding to counties. And then Representative Cliff Bentz, who represents much of Eastern Oregon, he noted that, you know, these counties used to rely on logging. Now they don't have that, and they need this money to keep their public services going out to people. So I thought that was interesting. But one thing that Cliff Bentz has said over and over again is that, you know, we need to increase logging to increase jobs in these rural counties. I think it's important to know that he voted in favor of the Big Beautiful Bill, the one that would redirect all money from logging to the federal treasury instead of counties. And back when I asked him about that, he said, you know, what's important to me is increasing logging in these areas because that will increase jobs at mills. But I think it's also important to know that automation has seriously decreased the number of jobs that can occur at mills. I mean, since about 2002, the number of board feet that we've harvested on federal lands has steadily increased a little. But at the same time, the timber industry has employing fewer and fewer people. And we have a graphic on our story about this on opb.org. So I think it's really important for people to know that just because we're logging more doesn't necessarily mean that we are going to see more jobs at mills.
Yeah, interesting. So now that this bill has passed the House of Representatives, what happens next?
Yeah, so now it's on President Trump's desk. It's, you know, I don't know when he will sign it, who knows, but once he does sign it, the payments will start back up within 45 days, and the federal government will start providing funding to these counties with back payments for fiscal years 2024 and 2025.
Okay. So it sounds like, you know, when President Trump signs the bill, you know, we should expect to see those payments and that back payment, you know, within 45 days.
Yeah. And I imagine he will sign it, but who's to say? It really depends on what his priorities are right now.
Yeah. So, you know, now this bill extends the funding for another 2 years, like the Secure Rural Schools Act has done for a while. But, you know, that doesn't seem like a lot of time before Congress is again have to take this up. And, you know, they didn't pass it last time. They let it lapse in 2023. Is there any talk about a longer term solution?
Yeah, I don't know. I think that's something that people would like, but I don't know that there is a viable solution that people are talking about right now. I mean, again, what initially happened when they were starting secure rural schools, from my understanding, is that they had hoped that counties would be able to find different sources of revenue, but they, especially in Oregon, haven't been able to do that because their primary way of getting revenue is through taxes. And Oregon has some pretty strict laws on how much governments can increase taxes without going to a vote. And so that's kept taxes pretty low. And remember that a lot of these counties are in areas where voters are pretty against raising taxes. So, you know, Douglas County has some of the lowest property taxes than, you know, anywhere else in the state. And it's pretty low compared to the rest of the country. And that's because they are able to get secure rural schools funding to help backfill all of these public services. So I don't know. I think there would have to be some change to the way that Oregon increases taxes for there to be any major changes on the horizon.
Great. Well, that was OPB's April Ehrlich. Thanks, April. I'm Roman Battaglia. You're listening to the Jefferson Exchange on the News and Information Service of Jefferson Public Radio.